Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Today we have the children of Israel crossing the Reed Sea. We've all been brought up with the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea, but that is an incorrect translation. You know, the Bible's written in Hebrew, and when they were translating it into English, they made a mistake. Yam Suf is the Sea of Reeds. The Red Sea is a huge body of water, and you know, a week or so we had ships there firing missiles into Syria. It's a huge body of water. The Sea of Reeds, scholars think, is located somewhere in the area of what is now the Suez Canal. There was a body of water there that has disappeared with the building of the Suez Canal. So it's not the Red Sea, but the Sea of Reeds. Okay? And I'm reading selected verses from chapter 14. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And the Hebrews were in great fear. They're boxed in. And they said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness here? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not what we said to you in Egypt? Let us alone and let us serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die here out in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation that the Lord will work for you today." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your rod and stretch it out. Stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and that the people of Israel may go forth on dry land." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove back the sea by a strong wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. The second reading comes from Exodus 15. And this actually, most scholars feel, is the oldest part of the Old Testament. It is very ancient and is a reflected memory of what had taken place. We have no reference to the escape of the Hebrew slaves in Egyptian records that we found to date. But here is a very ancient fragment reflecting on that memory. Then the prophet Miriam was Moses' sister and Aaron's sister. She took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and with dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has done triumphantly, gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea." Very ancient, very jagged Hebrew. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Moses said, "Fear not, stand firm. See the salvation that the Lord will accomplish for you today." Moses is one of the most interesting people in the Bible. You know, realize this, we're talking about events 3,000 years ago, and yet his life still fascinates, and it still holds our attention. And this spring, we're looking at Moses' life, his teaching, and his role as leader of the people of Israel. Previously, we've seen him as an infant in danger and saved from certain death through the actions of a very resourceful mother and sister. He's raised in the palace, the Egyptian palace, and he has the kind of upbringing his people do not have. They're brought up in slavery. He's brought up in privilege. He knows what freedom is. And then last week, we saw him in the Sinai Peninsula in exile. And there he encounters God in the burning bush. And he is called to liberate his people from bondage in Egypt. Now, you remember the story, how it goes? Picture the Pharaoh of Egypt seated in his throne. He's got the scepter of authority in his hand, and he's wearing that crown with the Egyptian cobra emblem on top, this spitting cobra, the deadly, poisonous cobra that spits its poison for your eyes. This man is the head of the superpower of the day. And Moses comes and says, "Let my people go." And the Pharaoh says, "No way." And then you have those 10 perils that hit the people, the 10 disasters, which center around, interestingly enough, things those people actually worshipped in ancient Egypt. And finally, after those terrible things, the Pharaoh changes his mind. He's going to let the people go. But then he changes his mind again. We're not clear why. Maybe it's because of the economic impact or whatever of these people leaving. But he changes his mind, and again he dispatches a group of his soldiers to follow after the Hebrew slaves. And remember, this is the most highly trained, highly equipped army in the world of the day. And it's a detachment of them is on chariots, they're on horseback, and they're chasing after this ragamuffin, disorganized kind of mob of slaves. And the Hebrew people now are in difficulty. Moses didn't quite do his homework, I guess. He maybe didn't have a chance to. He hadn't plotted out at least the beginning of his escape. And they find themselves really boxed in. There's this sea of reeds ahead of them, impassable. On either side, to the right and left, there are the sheer cliffs of mountains. And coming down upon them, they can see in the distance the dust raised by those chariots and the sun glinting off the spears in the soldiers' hands. Tough time. How did the children of Israel react? How would you react if you, again, you know, this is not a disciplined group of people. They're just a mob. Ragamuffin. How do you think these people reacted? One thing they did, and that was as soon as there was trouble, they wanted to go back into slavery. They wanted to go back into Egyptian bondage. And they said to Moses, "Hey, what have you done? Why have you brought us out here to die? Weren't there graves enough in Egypt? Why have you done this to us?" You know, Moses could get his people out from under the Pharaoh, but he couldn't get Pharaoh out of his people. And again, over the next 40 years, we will see these people, whenever there's rough times, what do they want to do? They want to go back to some idealized form of life in Egypt, in slavery. You know, at least there we had food on the table and a roof over our heads, and we knew what was expected of us. And I wonder, are there times in our own lives when we are holding on to Pharaoh? When we are holding on to a past that may not be the best thing for us? Instead of following Moses into the future. I wonder. Do you remember back in your college days, I think there was I'm not sure if he was a psychotherapist or just what his background was, Eric Fromm, and he had a book called Escape from Freedom, and his idea was that we are afraid of freedom, and we want to go back and hold on to the security of the past, which may not be all that good for us. Are we holding on to Pharaoh when we should be going on to the future with Moses? Can you think of times in our lives when that might be true? I'm thinking of maybe a person who's going through addiction, a person who is in slavery and yet sees that as a security, a false security, but a security, rather than reaching out for help. I think of a teenager whose relationship with the family is just bickering, bickering, bickering. And that's all he or she knows. And yet, is there a security in that bickering that prevents that person from reaching out and realizing there may be other ways of dealing with the family? The children of Israel want to go back. They want to go back into slavery. There's another side to this as well. They want to give up. As soon as there's trouble, they want to give up. And I was trying to think, you know, how common this can be with ourselves too. As soon as we reach an obstacle in our lives, in our path, we throw up our hands and say, "That's it, I quit." I think of someone who's between jobs and just how hard it is to keep up the discipline of rewriting resumes, of keeping that networking going when, you know, companies aren't hiring. It's very easy to give up. And I think, too, there's a nice little story of a man who had a fight with his wife. And he was talking to a friend about this fight he had with his wife. And the friend asked him, "Well, how did it go? What happened?" And the man said, "Well, she came to me on her hands and knees." And the friend said, "Yeah, what did she say?" And he said, "She said, 'Come out from under the bed, you coward.'" There are just some times in life we want to retreat. So the Hebrew people, again, this ragamuffin bunch, as soon as there's trouble, go back to the old security, or what they thought was security in retrospect. Give up. And then there's also this frustration, this anger, this blaming. You know, Moses, it's all your fault. Look at what you got us into. Look at this mess. It's your fault. You're to blame. You know, when we've had a bad day, what happens? We take it out on the dog or on the grandkids or the kids. There's a story about a father who was sort of caught in a box like the children of Israel, only this one took place in a supermarket. He's in a supermarket. He's pushing around in the cart a little boy. And the little boy is throwing a tantrum. Just you know, yelling, screaming. You've seen it. It's you know, just awful. And this man was saying, "Be cool, Albert. It's going to be all right, Albert. Be calm, Albert." The child is still screaming its head off. "Be cool, Albert. Be calm, Albert. It's going to be all right, Albert." And a woman approached him and said, "Instead of speaking such soothing words to Albert, why don't you do something about this?" And he said, "Lady, you don't understand. I'm Albert." You know, sometimes we understand. Sometimes when things go wrong, we get angry. We're boxed in. We get frustrated. We don't know how to handle things. And I think a question for us today, as we look at the behavior of the Hebrew people as they're coming out and get boxed in, where are we? Are we with them, looking back, just holding on to a past in our lives that may not be all that great? Or are we willing to step forward into the future with Moses? Where do we stand? It may change from one day to the next. Where do we stand this morning? Well, that's how the Hebrew people responded. And they respond this way for the next 40 years. The next question, how did Moses respond? I think if I were Moses, I would be very frustrated myself. And I'd say to the people, you know, all right, if you want to go back, you go back. I wash my hands of you. I'm finished. That'd be a very understandable reaction. The amazing thing is that Moses does not react that way. And I think, you know, we've seen him and we will see him as a very mixed bag of good points and bad points, skills and weaknesses. But here we see him at his very best. Here we see the leader. In the face of opposition, he stands up and he says, "Fear not. Stand firm. And see the salvation that the Lord your God will work for you today. Stand up. Let the people of Israel go forward." And we know what happened was something of a national deliverance, maybe something like Dunkirk, only much more for the Jewish people even. It's their foundation as a people. We know that the people of Israel crossed a body of water, the Sea of Reeds, and that somehow as the Egyptians came in after them, they got caught in the waters coming back. And we have in that reading today from Exodus 15, we have a fragment, an ancient fragment of that memory. You know, the horse and his rider God has thrown into the sea. We don't exactly know what happened. That's hidden behind the myths of history. I've seen scientists try to explain it by saying, oh, a 40-knot wind could push back the water. Other people have said a landslide could do this. Other people have said, oh, the lakes in that area could be crossed. And I think the truth is that this is all speculation. What really happened is hidden behind the myths of history. What we do have is the reflection here in that old passage and in the people's celebration of the Passover, which is a celebration of escape. We all have times in our lives, I think, when we find ourselves boxed in. When we look to God for help, and this is what Moses did. You know, God said, I will provide. That was the promise to Moses. I will provide. And in the crossing of the Reed Sea, we have God acting and saving the people. And I think as we look at our own lives this morning, have there been times when we have been boxed in with the Reed Sea and the mountains on either side and the Egyptians coming down upon us? And have we found that God has also cleared a way for us? I have a friend who lost a child, which was a very hard thing. And, but this, let me just share this letter. This was a person who had been in a study group doing the book of Exodus. He said this, I remember when the doctor called me into his office and I heard those words, acute lymphatic leukemia, with all that they implied. The next 18 months were worse than I could ever have imagined. I couldn't stand to see her suffer. I didn't know how we could survive without her, but we did survive. Somehow, some way, we were met by energies and courage we could not explain. All I know is that the Lord provided as he promised he would, as he did with Moses. Life has been, is, and will be difficult. But my hope for the future is rooted in the God who never forsakes us. When I am trapped between Egypt and the Reed Sea, I expect to be empowered by God just as mysteriously as were those first ancient Hebrews. And that trust gives me the courage to move on in hope. That's a powerful statement. Has there been a time in our own experience again when God has parted the waters when all seemed impossible. My friend trusted. He was a person of faith. And I think Moses was as well. But it's interesting. The ancient rabbis, when they comment on the passage we have today, said something a little bit different than the text. They said, you know, God didn't part the waters until Moses put his foot in the water. When Moses acted, it was then that God parted the waters. And I think the question here is, are we willing again to take that first step? You know, we want God to act on our behalf, but are we willing to take that first step ourselves? We can perform wonders. We can turn the world upside down if we do. And again, I think the question before us is, are we going to be like the children of Israel, holding on to Pharaoh, holding on to an idealized slavery in many ways? Or are we willing to, in faith, act and to go into the future with Moses? For the children of Israel, the crossing of the Red Sea was a foundational event of their faith. It was a time when God acted in their history and claimed them for his own. And I think the same can happen in our lives this morning, this week, where we find God acting to redeem, to save, to provide a way through the waters. Listen again to what Moses said to the people of Israel. Fear not, fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation which the Lord your God will work for you today. Amen.